Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And you can also find it freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity to talk with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Rachel. Hey, Rachel, how's it going?
Hi.
How are you today?
Not good.
Not good?
Oh, I don't, I'm not good.
Okay. I thought for a minute there you said not good, and I was like, to get us started with our podcast, and by the way, I'm really thrilled that you're a guest with us today. Could you formally introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep yourself busy.
Well, I'm originally from Chicago Heights, Illinois, and right now I live in Saginaw, Michigan, and I work as a job coach for a do-all in Bay City, and that is sort of like a place where people with developmental disabilities can find support and employment. And in the afternoons, Monday through Friday, I take about four people to the Y in Bay City, and we work in the laundry room, and we do the whole laundry thing, and fold the towels and put them in the washer, put them in the dryer, and fold them, and then they go out to the people.
Okay, great, great. How did you get involved in that type of work?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree in sociology, and for a while now, I've been trying to find some employment. And after a while, I just decided that I'm just going to volunteer for a little bit, and so I decided to volunteer at Do All. I volunteered there for about a year, and some of the upper management really liked me, and they said, "Well, how would you like to be paid?" And I said, "Well, sir." So I decided to become an employee, and then Duval and the Y joined up, and they thought of me since I was a very wonderful worker, and so I was asked to join the Y and to be a job coach for the Y and work a one-on-one with them. And so far, it is such a wonderful treat to work with people who are so caring and kind, and just a very, 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 not generous.
Oh, great, great. That sounds like such a good experience. How has your stuttering impacted your work? Has stuttering been a problem for you? With the people that you work with?
I think that is one of the bonuses, because there's tons of people who have mental disabilities and speech problems. So no, it's really not a problem, because they're used to working with people who have speech problems, and So it's just like being a part of one big family.
Oh, great, great. What about your co-workers and your supervisors? Have you had any, have you ever had any problem with them with your speech? Have you ever dealt with any negative reactions?
No.
So, oh, wow.
I know. So, so it's a very happy place all around, and I'm just hoping to get myself more hours and eventually like a better job in the company. But for right now, you know, I can't really complain because there's lots of people out of work are going to be out of work, and I'm at a really awesome place. So,
What is it that you'd like to do long term, either with them or eventually? I mean, what was the reason why you had studied sociology?
I really thought that I wanted to be somebody who wanted to help out not disadvantaged people, whether it be like people with disabilities or homeless people or people who are at risk. And I've tried many jobs because with a sociology background, like you can do tons of jobs. You know, with that, and I have had tons of jobs, and sometimes, like, I think it, sometimes the stuttering might have just thrown some of people off, and not many of them have worked out, which is why I just decided to take a break and just volunteer for a while. That way, you know, I wouldn't have any real demands or expectations. You know, I just come in and, you know.
How long have you, I'm sorry.
Who, you know, I didn't think that anybody would fire a volunteer. No, so that lowered the pressure quite a bit to perform, so I was more relaxed and more friendly. Well, I guess not more friendly, but I'm not so worried about trying to meet people's expectations.
Had that been a problem for you at previous jobs?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Can you give us an example?
Well, I have a cognitive disability as well, so everything is like the processing is sort of slower, so that sort of throws some employers off wondering why she isn't understanding what I'm saying, and you know.
Yeah, how do you deal with that, Rachel? Are you pretty upfront with people? I mean, do you advertise?
I think it. To new employers, you know, I've said, like once they heard me, you know, I explained that everything just takes a longer time to understand. And some were okay with it, and some weren't okay with it, and I was okay with some, and wasn't okay with others. So for the last couple of years, it would just sort of go up and down and up and down.
Which has been harder for you, the processing delays or the stuttering?
I think the processing delays might be harder because some people might not understand if I didn't hear it or if I, you know, don't care or, you know, they just sort of wondered. And with the speech, it's pretty obvious, so.
Have you ever had people make fun of you?
In grade school and high school, it was really awful because, you know, not many people had either one. And I just sort of stuck out like a sore thumb for a long time. So that really wasn't the highlight of my childhood.
Yeah. I've definitely heard that before. I've definitely heard, you know, people who stutter grow up often being teased and bullied and because it's, you know, people don't understand it, or they very rarely meet somebody who stutters, so they don't know how to respond or how to react to us. So especially in the younger years, it seems like kids being kids, they can just be mean and cruel and they don't realize how much it can really hurt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Have you stuttered since you started to talk?
I'm thinking yes.
Yeah. I started stuttering when I was 5. So, and I don't actually remember that, but my mother tells me that I started at around 5. But I started talking at around 2, and I was fluent. So, I talked at, you know, 2, 3, and 4 without any problems, and then just suddenly started stuttering at 5, pretty much have been stuttering ever since. Did you ever have speech therapy?
I think I did when I was like 7 or 8 or somewhere around there, and then after that, no, because I went to parochial schools, and they didn't do anything like that. So,
yep, me too. I had a half a year of speech therapy when I was in 3rd grade because it was a public school, and then I was moved to Catholic school, and just like you, there wasn't any speech therapy services available. And I actually didn't have any speech therapy really to speak of until a few years ago, when I was in my early 40s and decided to reach out for some support. But that didn't last long. I didn't care for it. And I really didn't feel like I got too much out of it. So, I guess it's harder as an adult. Have you ever had any as an adult?
Nope.
So where are you at now with your stuttering? It seems like you're pretty accepting.
Pretty much. I mean, what you see is what you hear, and if you don't like it, fine. If you do, good. But, you know, there's not a whole lot I can do about it, and if you don't like it, you know, fine.
Do you use any special tricks on your own to kind of get through stuttering moments, like slowing down or projecting your voice or anything? I mean, is there anything that you do to try not to stutter, or do you just let it all hang out?
I just think I just let it all out, and sometimes if I'm meeting somebody new, it might be a little harder. But working with kids is real interesting because I have some sort of nephews who are about 3 and 5 or
Six.
3 and 6, and either they don't really understand it yet or they just don't care. And so it's real nice just to talk with them, and they talk to me, and so far they haven't said, like, how come Rachel talks funny, or how come she doesn't sound like me, so.
That would be my sister's kids, by the way.
Oh, you should probably introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Rick. I'm Rachel's boyfriend.
Hey, Rick. Good to have you with us too.
You're welcome. Well, I had to throw in that little innuendo there.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that kids, they're much more honest and freeing than adults are, right? So they haven't developed those filters yet that adults do, and they just seem to be, just more accepting. And gosh, wouldn't it be wonderful if all if they grew up like that and all adults were like that as well?
Amen. Yes, it would.
Yeah. Now, what are the ages of the people that you work with?
Anywhere from about maybe 23 to 50.
Oh,
I
all
mean,
right.
it's a real huge age gap, and all of them are very genuine. And when I go into work, and if they see me, they say, "Hi, Rachel," and they give me a hug, and they ask what I had for supper last night and what I had for lunch today, and they're so, just very kind and genuine, and it's a real, it's a real change of pace for me that I really enjoy.
It sounds like they're really loving and very accepting. That's nice to be able to work in that type of an environment every day.
I know, because some people don't have that, and they go to work, and there's this, maybe one or two people who they really don't like, but they have to work with them anyway. And I don't really have anybody that's hard to work with or that I haven't liked.
Well, it sounds like you're the exception to the rule. It sounds like you're in a really lucky environment, where you're able to use your talents and your skills, and it almost sounds like your passion as well, and just get genuine kindness and acceptance in return. And get paid for
Yes, yay.
it. Is it okay if I ask Rick another question?
Yes.
Sure, go ahead.
Rick, what's it like for you, being in a relationship with somebody who stutters?
All right. Let me start from the very beginning about all this. We actually met on a blind date.
Okay.
back at us, our university that we got both degrees from. My degree is in communications with a minor in marketing. And so this all started because basically I was bugging some girls upstairs from our dorm rooms, and they were really pissed at me. And they wanted to, you know, they're like, okay, we got this girl, call her up. And basically they said, never bother us again. But to go back to your original question, you know, I also have a disability. I am visually impaired. And so it kind of works both ways. You know, since we both have a disability, there's tolerance in both issues there on both sides of the field. So I really, you know, like all people, you know, it's sometimes frustrating. But then again, I have to go back to the point where, well, wait a minute, she has to be patient with my vision here. So why not, you know, be patient with her speech? So there you go. And at times it is challenging as a couple. We've been together for 9 years, a little over years, actually. But we started dating back in 2000, but we had a little bit of an off period. Anyway, so going back to that, it's, you know, it's give and take for any relationship. We have our good times, we have our bad times, but at the end of the day, you know, it's not really that big of an issue. I mean, we know each other's weaknesses, we know each other's strengths. So as long as we know that, it's all right.
Wow. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. Have you ever been in a position, Rick, where you've seen Rachel or heard Rachel be laughed at or teased, and you've had to stand up for her?
Actually, I was a little bit nervous because the woman was a little bigger than me. was a former friend of ours. His mom came in and she tried to introduce herself and kind of started a little bit with her name, and you know, oh, so you're Ray Ray, not Rachel. You know, and that was kind of frustrating. But I've also been in situations outside of the relationship where I've seen, and in fact, I remember this very, very broadly. There was a position where I needed to get new computer speakers for my laptop. And the gentleman that was at Best Buy, the helper, the salesman, he, you know, he had a way worse stutter than Rachel. And so, being in the relationship, I was like, okay, just go back to the mannerisms. Don't worry about it. Let him do his thing. And, you know, and he seemed pretty comfortable talking to me. And I let him do his thing, didn't interrupt. But I will say that on occasion, I do have a habit of interrupting Rachel, but we're both used to that. And we both, you know, like I said, give and take. But that goes with any relationship that you have. Mm-hmm. But going back to that instance with the Best Buy, I mean, the guy was very receptive. I didn't, you know, I wasn't thinking, oh my gosh, this guy's an idiot. No, he knew exactly what he was talking about, and it took him a while to get everything out, but still he knew it exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you've learned a lot about stuttering over the years, and it also sounds like you and Rachel are great for each other.
I agree.
Now, one more question for Rick, and then I'll leave you alone and go back to Rachel. You said that sometimes you've interrupted Rachel.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Is that because you just tend to interrupt people in general, or,
yeah,
or is it because of the stuttering?
I think it's the first one, because I tend to. Like my father, I tend to talk over sometimes a lot of people, and that would include Rachel by accident. It's like, oh, shoot, this person didn't finish their sentence. Whoops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a habit for me because my dad does the same thing. So, you know, once you have it, unfortunately. It's not like, you know, you can't break it like right away, you know. So, but.
Right. Well, thanks for answering that, because I was just curious about that, because that's one thing that I sometimes have a hard time with, because I talk to a lot of people that stutter. I sometimes interrupt the other person because I don't know if they're done yet, you know?
Yes.
Because
yeah. It's a very common thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like when we're blocking, you know, sometimes you don't know if the person is actually done. And so I've jumped in and I've interrupted somebody and then realized, oop, they're not done yet. They're in the middle of a block. So anyway, well, it was good to hear your thoughts on this, Rick. And I'm glad we were able to include you in the conversation.
No problem. I'll let you finish the interview.
So, Rachel, what's it like for you when somebody does interrupt you? Does it happen often, or is it just Rick?
I think that sometimes it's just a little of everybody. I don't think they necessarily do it on purpose, but I think when I was starting out way back in like 2006, somebody asked my name, and I was trying to say it, and somebody said, "Oh, did you forget your name?" And it's like, "Ha ha," you know, no.
Yeah, that has happened to me many times over the years as well, and I think that's actually happened to lots of people who stutter. And it's funny that people ask that, you know, because it's like
rude.
It's very rude, and it's like that. Our name is like the most basic, the most common thing about us. Of course we didn't forget it.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know, I forgot my name, you know, what is it, you know, can you help me, because I forgot, you know.
exactly. Again, I think that's just a real quick reaction that people have, because they may be just momentarily stunned or surprised by running into somebody that stutters, and they just don't know what to do or say. So they say the first dumb thing that comes to their head, and it winds up being something like that. But I usually respond the same way. No, of course I didn't forget your name. And then sometimes I'll say to somebody, "Did you forget yours?" Which not necessarily is right, because two wrongs don't make a right, but sometimes that's a comeback that comes to mind really quick. But in an effort to wind down, let me ask you a final question. What advice would you give to people who stutter that have not reached the phase where you have what you hear is what you get? I like the way that you said that earlier. What you hear is what you get. What advice would you give to people that have not reached that point in their journey yet?
I think that if someone is, you know, that if somebody really, you know, stutters, and if the person will be kind enough to see that and will accept them for being a person, that they will overlook that and just accept them for being the person that he or she is. And, you know, if the person doesn't really accept them, then, you know, then I don't think that somebody would want them for a friend anyway, you know, to be honest with you. So I think that my advice would be to just to let your heart on the line. And if somebody is willing to see that you stutter, and they don't, and the person doesn't care, then they will hold their heart in their hands, and they won't smash it just because you have a hard time talking. And hopefully over time you'll find more people that will hold their heart rather than smash it.
Mm. Well, what a great piece of advice, and what a great way to kind of wind down the show. I like that phrase, hold their heart. And it seems like you and Rick hold each other's heart. And I'm glad I got the opportunity to meet the both of you. Thank you, Rachel, for wanting to share your story with us, and for being so honest. I really appreciate it, and I think your story is going to inspire a lot of people that listen.
Thank you. I'm glad that I finally decided to share my story. I think it just took me a while to get the courage for this, and I finally just decided, you know, that I would find a way to contact you. So,
well, I'm so glad you did.
Me
and
too.
Yeah, this was great, and it was great getting to know you. So, thank you again. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.